front-end developer for the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter at Lullabot or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you. We're here going behind the screens with Angie Byron of Acquia. Hi, Angie.
Hello. How are you, Chris?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
Great.
How are you enjoying BadCamp so far?
Great. It's actually wonderful. I haven't been here in a couple of years, and it's actually really great to see, you know, all of the smiling faces, because BadCamp's one of the oldest running camps, and so seeing some people that I've known since, like, I don't know, 2008, 2009, still kicking it in the Drupal community has been pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is a big group here, and it is fun just to get caught up with all the people you haven't seen in a while.
And exactly.
It's such a great atmosphere. The weather has been pretty great, with aside from a little rain last night. It's fun. It's really positive, I feel like, this year.
Yep. We also all got woken up by a fire drill this morning, so, you know, we had an extra spring on our step today. So, yeah.
I heard about that. I didn't make it. I was a little late. I think I just missed the earthquake drill.
Oh, wow.
So
nice.
I heard about it, though. Yeah. Like, I'll wait till that's over, and then I'll show up.
Good call.
Yeah. So what's new in your world? What's going on at Acquia these days?
Yeah, so at Acquia, my role is I work in the office of the CTO, which means Dries Beitart, the project lead, is my boss, so no pressure at all there. And so our role is to help the community be awesome, effectively, and work on kind of Drupal's biggest problems and try and, you know, clear blockers and that sort of thing. So Octo's set up in sort of three divisions. There's the UX division. We work on stuff like layouts and core, media and core, things like that, trying either to do direct development in the case of layouts, or we do sort of like more of project management and enablement and empowerment stuff like we do in the case of media, where we'll help run meetings for them, or we'll help promote the work that they're doing, try and find fundraising for them, this kind of thing. There's the decoupled team. What they work on is the API first initiative, so clearing out technical debt from the REST API, working on getting new features like JSON API into core, and anything around essentially making JavaScript and Drupal work a lot more seamlessly with each other, making Drupal a great backend for any kind of front end you want to throw at it, that sort of stuff. And then the third group is the release and community management team. And this team makes sure that things like security releases go out on time. And right, you know, when patch releases go out, they don't break your sites and stuff like that. Managing the minor releases that go out every 6 months and making sure they are backwards compatible. And we put out release notes with any gotchas and this kind of thing. And then also on the community management side, it's about analyzing, you know, how is the velocity of Drupal going? What are the key contributor blockers? How can we make headway on some of those things? So we'll, you know, do things on that team like, you know, promote things to the Drupal Association as items that are blocking people from getting things done. In the past, one of my jobs was like to get better distribution tools on Drupal.org, for example. We'll also do things like, you know, find additional people that we don't have enough of, so say committers for core or subsystem maintainers or this kind of thing. And so my role on that team is a little bit hovering above all of those, you know, so I work with the UX team, I work with the release and community management team, I essentially work with Dries to kind of set a roadmap of, like, we sit there at the beginning of the quarter and we say, what's the biggest, hairiest problems that Drupal has right now, and then go figure them out. So that's basically my job. So it changes all the time, but it's very exciting, and I love that it gets to help other people do awesome things.
Mm-hmm. What's one of the biggest challenges that you've had to face recently with, I mean, that sounds like a lot to handle. Is there any one in particular that sort of stands out as, like, this is really a prominent thing, and we're not sure exactly how to approach it yet? What's a big challenge that you're...
I mean, a big challenge we did have was getting Drupal 8 out the door. That was a really challenging thing where, you know, it was, we had been very ambitious and kind of did an all-you-can-eat buffet kind of thing with, you know, changing this, that, the other thing, adding this feature and that feature. And then when we had to actually ship the thing, that was a long slog. And mm-hmm. So there was a lot of trying to help people who were burning out and figure out better ways to do things. The good news is on the other side of that, we manage everything a lot better than we used to. We've learned a lot of lessons from that and so forth. Lately, I think the thing I've been spending a lot of time on is trying to accelerate the contributed module space around Drupal 8. So, you know, taking a hard look at, like, what are the things that are blocking people from adopting Drupal 8? And some of it is You know, some of it is module X isn't ready yet. You know, if you really are in need of a specific module and that's not ported yet, you either have to port it yourself or wait until it's done. But some of these modules are sort of like infrastructure level modules. So, you know, like say the rules module or feeds or these kinds of things are a little bit more impactful when they're not done. So trying to figure out how to either, you know, channel in community resources or funding or something to accelerate those things. As well as the migration path from 7 to 8 and some of the other... There's a lot of really great stuff. People are building new sites on Drupal 8 all the time, and they're doing great, but we want to make sure that the bulk of the community that's on Drupal 6 and 7, mostly 7, can move to Drupal 8 and take advantage of all the new cool stuff that we've got. So.
Excellent. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Most of it's there. You can build a pretty great site with Drupal 8 core right now.
Yeah.
And even with a few contrib modules, it's amazing the site builder experience, how much it's changed since 7. So
absolutely.
A lot of really hard work, I'm sure, went into all of that. And like you were saying, it was a huge task to try and get that all out the door. How has the community involvement been or the community response been since 8.0 came out, oh, what was that, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, November of 2015.
Yeah. So how have you seen the community change since then? Has it been a good response? Has the adoption still been good? Or what would you feel is the overall tone?
Yeah, I think right now in 2017 where we stand is actually really good. There's a lot of great momentum around Drupal 8. The contrib ecosystem is flourishing. Like the business ecosystem, they're for the most part using Drupal 8 or about to or this kind of thing. Dries did a keynote in Vienna where he covered some of these statistics. I would say the 6-month release cycle seemed to be working really well for us. That's a new thing where instead of Drupal coming out whenever it's ready, we actually tell you when it's going to come out. And but I think a lot of people haven't quite gotten used to that cadence yet. And so we'll still catch people who, like, the day before we're about to release a new minor version are like, wait, what's happening with Drush? Or, you know, this sort of thing. So I think there's still some work to educate people around being aware of when release dates are happening and backing up 2 months before that so that you can be, you know, testing stuff early and make sure it's not going to break and these kinds of things is important. Yeah, so those are some of the challenges. I think the energy, though, overall is really positive with Drupal 8. I see, you know, new contributed modules coming out all the time. I see some of the old stalwart contributed modules that people always use, like, say, WebForm, have new life breathed into them via Drupal 8. I hear developers who've gone over that learning curve from 7 to 8 just be like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Like, I wrote this amazing thing and it only took me 100 lines of code because it was all plugins and this and this and this. And so it's really validating that the amount of work we put into Drupal 8 to move it into like the next, you know, phase of its evolution seems to be paying off pretty well. So.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. There is that big hurdle if you're coming from the Drupal 7 world as far as a back-end developer goes.
Correct.
And I've experienced that myself firsthand where I've been working in Drupal 7 for so long. I'm like, I can do any, you throw any task at me, I know how to do it in Drupal 7. And all of a sudden it's...
Yep.
Rug pulled out.
Yep.
Okay, I'm back at the bottom again. Now I got to start over. But once you get past that learning curve, that initial hurdle, it is amazing how easy it is to accomplish some of those things.
Yeah, I'd also say it's not completely pulling the rug. I know it feels that way, but you know, a lot of the concepts that you had to come into Drupal and learn, like about nodes or entities or fieldable things, views, all of that translates really well. But as far as like that used to be this hook or this specially named function to something else, there definitely is a learning curve there.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, I remember when I first came to Drupal, I had to unlearn all of that. Like, I was a .NET, Java, whatever developer, and it was like, oh, this thing uses specially named function thingies, and so I had to kind of unlearn all that knowledge. And now it's like re-dusting that off and trying it again. So it's interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting ride to take. It definitely.
Yeah.
It's like back in time, forward in time.
Yeah.
So let's say somebody's trying to figure out whether Drupal's the right option for them. They're maybe a developer who's trying to set something up on their own and they want to learn how to participate, write a module or get into the community. If you could give one piece of advice to somebody new walking into that with a development background, what sort of advice would you give them to get started?
Honestly, the best advice I could give them, and I realize this isn't accessible to everybody, but it would be go to a place like this where real-life Drupal people are that you can talk to in person.
I can talk to real-life Drupal people.
I know.
Face-to-face.
I know. It's like you can talk to another human being about Drupal, and they don't go, God bless you, you know, because they don't know what you're talking about. No, it's that is single-handedly ultimately the best way to kind of deeply immerse yourself in the community, how it works, what, you know, the best practices are du jour or whatever. So I found when the difference between me participating remotely in the issue queue, I did a lot of that. Like, I hung out on what would be Slack these days, but IRC back then, talking to the community, making friends, and, you know, working hard and stuff. But coming to an event where there were real life Drupal people there was just mind changing and life altering. Honestly, it altered the trajectory of my career, and, you know, I made lifelong friends through that. It's just, like, it's amazing. So if you can get to a Drupal event near you or at a DrupalCon or something like that, I would highly recommend that. Or look in your area to see if there are local user group meetings, because that is another avenue where you can meet people in your own town or surrounding town that knows what Drupal is, and kind of that idea of, like, working together with somebody that you can actually, you know, see and, you know, joke around with, you know, when things get frustrating or whatever, is, like, really good.
Yeah, there's emotion beyond an emoji. There's, mm-hmm, like, actual, exactly. You can see the expression on their face, and people are actually happy to help. They're open to new people coming in. Like, I don't think I could speak for anyone here and say, like, we don't want new people, get them out of here, we're all our old curmudgeon-y selves. It's so exciting to have new people come in and want to learn and ask the questions, and I think a lot of people can be very intimidated, because we've all been doing this for, like, I hit 10 plus years on my Drupalversary recently, but a lot of us have been here and for a long, long time, and it can feel very cliquish, maybe, to a degree, but that shouldn't dissuade people from jumping in and asking the questions. And
no, it really shouldn't, and that's another reason I advocate for in-person events, because then you talk to Webchick and you find out she's just this huge dork who likes, you know, playing Nintendo games or whatever. So it's like, it helps break down those kind of barriers that you might have from the outside about certain people being rock stars. If I can recommend two things for that question.
Sure.
Also, there's a Drupal diversity and inclusion group on Drupal Slack and various other places that are working on putting together little teams to work on projects together for, you know, women, people of color, queer, other marginalized folks. So that would be a good avenue as well, because we're hoping to, you know, make our community very friendly and welcoming and open to all types of people. And so that's one avenue. If you find getting into the larger community a little bit intimidating, that might be an avenue for you.
That's a great advice. Great advice. So you kind of mentioned it here a little bit. Let's flip this. And we've been talking a lot about work and a lot about the community here. But I want to know about the community, or the people who are making up this community outside of the code. So if you woke up tomorrow and the internet has gone away, it has disappeared. I know.
Sorry, what? I'm on the floor now, I'm gasping for air. No.
What would you do with your time?
Yeah, I would have a lot more time. That's for sure.
Yeah, you would.
You know, that's funny. I think what I probably would do is work with kids. I have a daughter who's 4 and a half, and she's the light of my life. I love her so much. And it's funny because, you know, I go on special adventures with her or whatever, but frequently, like, other kids will just come up and start talking to me because, you know, like, why not? I'm a weirdo with blue hair. I guess that's right. So there's been times when, like, I'm reading her a book, you know, in a mall or something, and all of a sudden there's this crowd of, like, 16 other kids behind all listening to the story. And so I think I'd really love to explore that and see what that's about. Because I maybe teach it well. I couldn't teach kids programming, I guess, because there's no internet. But, you know, like, yeah. But teaching kids how to build, I don't know, something, robots out of, like, you know, kinetic parts, since we can't use electricity or whatever. But, like, yeah, I think kids are amazing. They learn things like that. They have such great questions, and seeing how they fit it into their worldview is really fascinating to me. So I think I would do something like that.
That would be pretty cool. I would love to see that sometime. Just walk into a mall and there's Angie reading in a whole bunch of kids.
A whole bunch of ducklings are all, yeah.
All the parents are like, where'd our kids go? Oh, they're talking to the blue-haired lady.
Okay. Yep, it happens.
How funny. So I always finish up the episodes this way. I really think it's important to acknowledge the people who've helped us along the way in our careers, because every one of us has gotten a push at some point. So is there somebody that you would like to say thank you to who maybe gave you a push at a time you needed it, or gave you an opportunity that you might not have otherwise had?
Can I say thank you to two people?
Yes.
Okay. Whew. Thanks. Okay. So the first one would be Chicks, Caroli Nagisi. He's a longtime Drupal contributor who totally mentored me when I was first getting started and showed me the ropes of the hook system, and because I could not figure that out at all, I'll be honest. I was an object-oriented developer, so what? He lives in my town, and he's, like, one of my best friends, and just has continued to be, like, a really great person and helped me through many things, both personal and professional. And so I want to say thanks to him, and then also thanks to Dries, because as I mentioned, he is my boss, and he has just... He's a really great at challenging people to do their best, but not getting in their way and trusting that they're going to get their stuff done. And he's also been incredibly supportive. I had a rough couple of years personally, really rough. And he has supported me a lot through employment and just personally as a friend and stuff. So those would be the two that immediately come to mind, but there are hundreds of others that I'm sure I could mention.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be the common theme with the question is, everyone has a hard time narrowing it down to just one or two.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show you the power of the community. We've all been here to help out, either mentoring at a sprint or participating in a sprint or just a hallway track of some type. It is a really energizing feeling being around all of these people who are just here to make it all better, make the code better, make the project better, and to help each other. And it's very, I want to say unique, but I've heard from a lot of people who've spent times in other communities that it is a shared sort of thing when you have that common bond. But Drupal being as large and diverse as it is, I think it's very unique in its sense that we can still come together and just be like, oh, hey, it's you from that country that's all the way on the other side of the world. Well, I haven't seen you in a year. You want to go get a drink? Let's go get a drink.
Yeah. I think also, Drupal, like most open source communities, has a lot of really smart people in it. But I find our flavor of smart people tend to be like a lot less like, oh, you don't know the blah, blah module. Well, whatever. You're insignificant. Then more like, you don't know the blah, blah module. Let me tell you about it because it's awesome. You know, like there's a lot of like excitement to share what people know as opposed to trying to hoard it or make people feel bad. That attitude is not welcome in our community. And I love that about our community. I love that we're open, we're welcoming. We want to share knowledge with each other. We really believe in that idea that if we just make this thing that we're building better, it's going to benefit everybody.
So. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I like that. My favorite or our flavor of smart people.
Our flavor of smart people.
I like that.
They're a little crunchy on the outside, but they're sweet on the inside.
Oh, that's great. Well, Angie, thank you so much for taking
some time.
This was great.
Yeah, this was great. All right. Have a good day. Bye, everybody.
Your local Drupal community is the place to get involved and hone your chops. And coming up in February, the community has the U.S. covered coast to coast. February 3rd and 4th, you have your choice between Drupal Camp New Jersey in Princeton or the Pacific Northwest Drupal Summit in Portland, Oregon. And President's Day weekend, February 16, 17, and 18, slide on down to Florida Drupal Camp in Orlando. There's plenty more on the horizon across the globe, so head on over to drupalpal.com to find your nearest local event or meetup. Or, if you're ready to level up but can't make the trip, point your browser to drupalize.me and stuff your brain full of carefully crafted videos and tutorials.